you received an outline, you should see what the theme is, and not only tonight, but next Lord's Day evening also, Lord willing. And we'll talk about the Christian armor, the Christian warfare. So tonight we'll just look at an introduction and a couple of phrases, and next week we'll look at the armor itself and look at its description. I know in our songbook, that is like one of the songs, in the back of the songbook there's a topical index, and one of those phrases that has a warfare. And some of the songs in our book that deal with that, a mighty fortress. And we sang faith is a victory. There's a royal banner. Onward, Christian soldiers. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh. You probably don't know that song, but I might lead that when we have our Sunday singing. So just interesting to hear how hymn writers have picked up on certain Bible phrases and things like that. The text is in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer. So that's the text we'll use in this short series. Maybe we might get three lessons out of it now. If I can stretch, I can do that. But first, again, let's go back through the text by way of introduction. He says, finally, my brethren, so we know who he's addressing. That's in our generation, that's you and me. That's us. And we are the ones that are in this spiritual battle that he's describing. Now, I like, as you know, sometimes definition. It seems like this lesson lends itself to definitions of sorts, and by definitions, when it gives the definition, I think not only tells us what the word means, but many times the definition gives the application. So I'm going to spend a few moments on a few phrases with just a dictionary definition. First one, he says, be strong, be powerful, sound condition, hearty, be tough, hold firmly. If you're strong, you're heavily made. Not like this one. It said the ability to withstand the stress without structural damage. Withstand the stress without structural damage. Stable. Able to resist. Not easily defeated. Sturdy. He said, be strong. You asked for definition. Well, I know what strong means. Sometimes when you hear a few more words added in the definition, oh, that's right, strong. Then the next phrase is, in the Lord. You see, our strength is established because of our relationship with God. So I want to make a conscious decision to use the protection that God's provided. My strength is in the Lord. So as Christians, you know, having been baptized into Christ, we have added strength. We have strength in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, Paul said, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, strong, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to know that. The next phrase is, in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Nothing is lacking in God's power. So I want to join the ranks with the one who has never lost a battle. I want to be sure that my strength is in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Strength is not my might. If it was, then I wouldn't need His might. I need His. Hymn number 461. I just want to read the words. It's a phrase or kind of a lesson. Verse 1, he says, so be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. The chorus, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. We have added strength in our life. So then in verse 11 he says, so now, put on the whole armor of God. And as I say, God is not going to skimp on equipment. He's not going to give you less than the best. So our obligation is to wear it. Our obligation is to put these things on and trust that it's going to give us the victory in the fight. That's the lesson. And it says whole armor. We'll talk about that next week. But the whole armor. Put on all the armor. The entire uniform. Complete the ensemble. Put on the whole armor of God. In our lesson this evening, I'm going to look at these three Abels to start with. The three Abels that are given in the text. The first one's in verse 11. When you put on the whole armor of God, what help is that for me? Well, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now here's the dictionary definition again. Stand against means maintain a specified position. Remain where situated. I'm going to stand. Unchanged and intact and resolute. I'm going to stand against. Remain stationary. To do the duty. Stand fast. Resist. To be stable. Not to be moved. Stand. We have that ability. How? By putting on the whole armor of God. It's His might for us. And I want to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a lengthy definition for wiles. We have a grandson named Wiley, but it's not spelled the same. But wiles. Here's the dictionary definition of wiles. Crafty. He's the wiles of the devil. Deceitful, cunning, sneaky, beguile, having a strategy, subtle plans of battle, actions of cunning deception, treacherous methods of warfare. But the devil does not go about always carrying his weapons in the open. He has underhanded means. The wiles of the devil. Concealing one's intentions. To lure. Trickery. Clever at attaining one's goal. Deceptive means. To lead one away from a proper course. The wiles of the devil. With all of that, Paul is saying when you put on the Christian armor, we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All of these things that I just mentioned. The next able is in verse 13. That you may be able to withstand. First one, stand against. Now we can withstand in the evil day. So, we don't want to leave anything undone that will contribute to the success of our battle. That's why we say put on the whole armor of God. Do those things that will help us succeed in our Christian life. And Paul then adds, you know, and having done all, to stand. In other words, be prepared. So now we have the ability to stand against and to withstand. And we can do it against great opposition. The wiles of the devil. And he mentions, in the evil day. Oh, days are coming. We may not have experienced all of these, or some we've experienced to a more greater degree. But in the evil day, so I put by definition even in your notes, in the day or the days ahead when temptations confront us. Yeah, I want to be able to stand against that. When persecutions may press us. When friends forsake us. That gets closer to home. When the pleasures of sin are advertised. Well, they always make it look good, don't they? Bright lights, music. When that sneaky devil tries to trick us. Those are the evil days that perhaps is mentioning. The third able is in verse 16. What are we able to do? We're able to stand against. We're able to withstand. And now in verse 16, you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So again, little definition or help to understand the phrasing. Whatever flaming missile the world shoots at us, or the devil shoots at us, we have the ability to, to douse it, throw water on it, extinguish it, to put it out. No matter what presses us, with the Christian's armor, we can stand against, withstand, and quench all that comes against us. Now, Paul doesn't give us an example of what a fiery dart is. But it's something that has the ability to pierce us and burn us up. A fiery dart is something in the text that the devil shoots, and it signifies the intensity of hurt and destruction that he wants to inflict upon us. To move us away from our stance. Our stand. Then the enemy is identified in verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11, he's identified as the devil. The apostle, or at least one reason for writing I see in this, is so that we don't underestimate the power of the forces that are against us. Don't look at something that's being pressed against me, or me looking at something pressed against you, and think, that's not much. Oh, but it might be to you. What presses against me or might inflict me may not be that which inflicts you, but the devil knows. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his device. We're not. So we know we have the ability to know his schemes, his wiles, his maneuvers, his tactics, his procedures, his lures. We can know that. And then the devil, that's what my notes, I wrote all these out. The criminal devil has many aliases, that AKA also known as. He has some names in the Bible. I've listed 27 of them. 27 different names. I have all the verses for these. But he's listed as the evil one, the enemy, Beelzebub, prince of devils, strong one, murderer, liar, father of lies, prince of this world, Satan, god of this world, Belial, serpent, spirit of disobedience, tempter, adversary, as a lion, and all the rest of these are from Revelation, angel of the bottomless pit, Abaddon, Apollyon, Great Red Dragon, The Dragon, Great Dragon, Old Serpent, Devil and Satan, Deceiver of the whole world, the accuser of our brethren. If you want this list, I'll photocopy this. At least 27 different names in the Bible for the devil. So with a foe like that, we need the whole armor of God. Don't diminish those things that press against us and tend to want to pull us away. And the next one in verse 12, the enemy being identified, said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." So here for a moment, the illustration changes from a soldier in the army to a wrestler and some individual challenges. So it's a spiritual warfare. And the battles against the world's temptations, but they may not always present themselves in the form of physical persecutions and struggles. At least not right now in our generation. But even when we have these human opponents, they're but instruments of unseen and more treacherous foes of the works of the devil. So we're not wrestling against always flesh and blood. Not our battle. In verse 12, he lists some of these things. Principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the battlefield is this world in which we live, our neighborhood, our city, our county, state, nation. It's a battle for our love for God. It's a battle that we have to wrestle with. It's a battle of flesh versus spirit. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh," and that's people that are without God, they follow the flesh. "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit," or they that follow the Spirit, they're to follow the things of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And John says in 1 John 2, verse 15, "Love not the world." You see, what are the battle lines? It's a battle of priorities. Where we place our love. What's going to pull us away from the priority of giving God first? So John says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world," he boils down to three things: the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. "These things are not of the Father, but of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever." See the battle lines. Flesh versus spirit. Worldliness versus spirituality. That's the battle lines. In Romans 6, verse 16, he says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey, his servants are whom you obey." His servants we are whom we obey. "Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So that's the lesson tonight. And I put it in the bottom of your notes. It can be summed up in the words to hymn number 619. Sing this song when we have our singing. 619. Four words. "Buried with Christ," that's us, those who've been baptized. "Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer." Right, here's the description. "Dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call. The world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within." That's the lesson. Second stanza. "Dead unto sin," meaning sin doesn't affect us, supposedly. "Alive through the Spirit. risen with him from the gloom of the grave. All things are new, and I am rejoicing in his great love, his power to save. That's right, his might. Third stanza. Sin has no more its cruel dominion. Walking in newness of life, I'm free. Glorious life of Christ, my Redeemer, which he so richly shareth with me. Then the chorus. Dead to the world, to voices that call me. Living anew, obedient, but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me. Yet 'tis not I, Christ liveth in me. Putting on the whole armor of God. So therefore, my beloved brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How to put on the whole armor of God. And these things, what is, has the ability to stand against, to withstand, and to quench, has that power to put on the armor of God. So that's the lesson. Always when we assemble, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You had that opportunity tonight, if you have not done so already, to obey the gospel message, to be baptized for remission of sins. And if that's your desire, I know you have the knowledge, but if that's your desire tonight, we can accomplish that. All things are ready. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, song of exhortation. And if you need to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song, and we can answer your request. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis will let us.